I invite you today to take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And we're going to look at protecting your mind, part 2. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And if I start with verse 8, this is actually the gatekeeper for our minds. This is the filter. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Have you noticed how those who are proponents of political correctness and tolerance are the most hypocritical people on planet Earth? They decide what is to be tolerated in society, and they try to determine what we as Christians and conservatives should and should not do. A great example of that was back in 2007. Some of you have heard of Ken Ham. He was the brains behind the Creation Museum that was constructed. And then, you know, in 2016, Ken Ham was also the director of the construction of Noah's Ark in Williamstown, Kentucky. Now, some of the liberal political correctness people said, now, he's opened that for a religious purpose, but he has a right to do that. But in anticipation, every now and then I get hung up in my retainer. Y'all just stay with me. In anticipation of the grand opening, back at July 7th of 2016, I want you to know that there's a group, you can Google them up, Tri-State Freethinkers, launched a protest with their president, Jim Helton, and here's what they said. The moral story of the flood is horrible. We're not saying he can't build his park, but we don't think that it's appropriate that he promotes a family fun day. Close quote. And ladies and gentlemen, help me with my memory, but I think that every year that Disney has an alternative lifestyle day. I don't recall the Tri-State Freethinkers lambasting them in the press for having that kind of event. Last week we studied how to protect your mind by developing Bible-based convictions. So today I want to share with you about how we can control our thought life. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I want to show you today how to guard your thought life. Last week I shared with you how the unsaved person has an unregenerate mind. In fact, the god of this world, Satan, blinds the minds of those who are not born again. When we do get saved, listen to me carefully, I want you to know that we're in a warfare. It's a spiritual warfare between the lordship of Christ with our mind and Satan and his forces here on this earth. So I want you to know that the carnal mind, a lost mind, may become a converted mind by being born again, but then I also show you that the converted mind can also be a corrupted mind. Notice Paul said, I have a concern lest Satan corrupt you through his subtlety from the simplicity which is in Christ, that your minds may be corrupted, and Satan can come in and seduce us, and even a Christian's mind can be drawn away. When we have a converted mind and we allow it to be corrupted, the Bible calls that a stronghold. That's possible to occur in a believer's life. The conquered mind must be controlled, and the Lord is to be in charge of our mind. We're to choose our thoughts just like we choose our friends. You have to have some sort of standard to know what kind of thoughts that you can allow in your mind. Verse 4, notice what Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." First of all, he says here, if you're going to control your thoughts, find your joy in the Lord. He doesn't say rejoice always. That would be kind of silly. Not to rejoice in all things. He says rejoice in the Lord always. Because only by rejoicing in the Lord will you find a joy that will last. Every Christian who is controlling their thoughts will have a conscious joy. You'll have a continuous joy, and you'll have a contagious joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In John chapter 15, verse 11, we find the words of Jesus. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And by the way, it's only joy in Him that remains. If you get your joy somewhere else, I want you to know it won't be permanent. I think about Paul. Suppose Paul had said, "Man, I get my joy in freedom." And the next thing you know, he's locked in a cold, dark dungeon, a prison, awaiting to have his head cut off. Where would his joy be at that time? Well, you say, "I get my joy in fun things in my bucket list." Well, we went to Hawaii a couple of years ago. We decided to get one of those one-hour tours on Maui in a helicopter. Blue helicopter. Now, one thing you want to do when you're looking these up is their safety rating. So we've been on a helicopter before. So we signed up for the one-hour tour. We'd never been to see Jurassic Park, but it was flying over where Jurassic Park was filmed. It was going to fly over Zuckerberg's plantation over there, just the rainforest. And so we signed up and we went in there and paid our money. And then we had to take a 20-minute safety course. Basically, if a helicopter goes down, you're finished. So this was a total waste, but this is the lawyer side of riding a helicopter when your estate sues them. So we went in there, and this helicopter seated 8 people. The 3 across the front, counting the pilot, and then 3 and a couple more back there. So we go out and line up on the tarp. And so helicopter flies in. They called Elaine to get on first. And they put her in the middle seat right next to the pilot. The pilot gets on board, and she is about that tall. Now, I thought we were going to get an ex-military pilot. You understand? One that survived Afghanistan and things of that nature. And so this little girl gets on there to fly the helicopter. Well, they got me riding on shotgun. So the girl gets on board, and she said, "Hi, my name's Kathy." She says, "Hi." And Delaine says, "My name is Delaine." And she said, "You ever flown on a helicopter?" Delaine says, "Yes." Says, "How long you been flying?" She said, "Oh, this is my first tourist flight." And then she said, No, I've been flying here for about 7 years. She's not ex-military. She flew over the Redneck Riviera for 14 years doing tours for people over Panama City and Destin. But I will tell you, she was great. She flew us inside a dormant volcano. Now, we're as far as from here to Mark and Miriam from the walls. She took us to see what is really known as the Mount Everest of Hawaii. And they showed us where they used to lower soldiers down with emperors who had died. And that soldier would find a place, a crag, to bury that emperor where nobody else could discover it. And then he was sworn to secrecy. And then they cut his rope and he fell to his death in that valley. It was a very interesting trip that we took riding on that helicopter. But I want you to know that about 3 weeks after we came home, we were watching the news, and one of those blue helicopters crashed and killed everybody on board. I was just thinking about the joy. In fact, when you finish your tour, they have a camera inside the chopper and outside the chopper for only $40. You can buy a little thumb drive that goes in the side of your computer, and you can see your whole trip. But you know, if my joy was in a helicopter ride, it all blew up when that helicopter went down. Sometimes we say in our circumstances, man, I finally graduated. I heard a man this week said he enjoyed 9 years at the university. I thought that was great. Then amusements, sometimes business. And we ought to enjoy our health and give thanks to God for it, but he says that we ought to rejoice, find our joy in the Lord. Why is that? He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And his love for us never changes. Notice what else? Remember that God is near. Always remember his presence continually. Look in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, he's not talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not talking about the rapture, the second coming, although those things are going to take place. But what he's talking about now is the Lord is dwelling within us in the presence and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's with us with every thought we have, every word we utter, everything that we do. I want you to know, he dwells within us. He said, the Lord is near. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to practice the presence and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life every single moment. I was reading the other day about some prisoners of war who were victims of Joseph Stalin's regime. Said oftentimes the guards would come in. Now, what they had was some Christians in a jail compound. And they'd have guards to come in and count every now and then. They'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way. They'd get all the way to 30. And one of the Christians raised his hand and said, no, there's 31 in here. Jesus is with us today. Find your joy in the Lord. Secondly, recognize his presence. Just refuse to worry about anything, he says in verse 6. Now, I struggle with this. When we worry, we're actually practical atheists. We're disobeying what God's word says about worry. And then we're thinking whatever's going on in our life is too big for God, so we choose to worry, which doesn't do anything but stress us out and tax our body. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, be careful for nothing. That word careful there is a Greek word that means to be pulled apart. And that's exactly what worry does. It just pulls you apart. You got fear over here. You got hope over here. And you're just being pulled between the two. Paul says, don't worry about anything. You know what Jesus said about worry? He said it is worthless. No one can add a cubit to your stature. You can't raise your height by worrying. Do you know what it was like being 4'10" and 90 pounds in the seventh grade? I mean, you just want to, God, can you help me grow? Just let me wear tall shoes. But you know what? Worrying about that. And Lord, I want to play football, but you're too small. You'll take one hit. You'll either be dead or disabled for life. You can't do that. So you don't worry over it to add any kind of size to your body. Worry never solved a problem. It never lifted a burden. And I want you to know it never dried a tear. He says it's worthless. Not only worthless, he says it's wasteful. It takes energy to worry. Now, I don't recommend this, but I eat chocolate when I get worried. I'm not even conscious that I'm worrying. Does that make sense to you? But I got a bag of Three Musketeers in the bottom drawer of my desk. And if I'm having to deal with a lot of things that are getting pretty tense during the day, I just kind of reach down in there and I get me a Three Musketeers. It's those little fun size. If it's a really bad day, I might catch myself in there two times getting me a fun size piece of chocolate. Now, it doesn't work, but sure does feel good going down. Takes your mind off whatever else you're doing. You're just worshiping the Lord with chocolate. It's what you're doing. So you're trying to rejoice in the Lord again. He says it's worthless, it's wasteful. Here he's getting ready now to tell us how to guard our thought life, but he's setting the stage, giving us an atmosphere. He says, just find your joy in the Lord. But then he says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, bring every need to God in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to pray about the big things, but we need to pray about the little things as well. They matter. Why do we need to pray about the little things? Because God said so. Those of you who are parents ought to be praying for a mate for your child now. You say, my child is in the nursery, 3 months old. Never too soon to start. You'd be surprised what's out here. When your child gets married at 35 for the first time, your prayer will be answered. They didn't date till they were 25, so if you do that, you'll be fine. Now listen very carefully. Do you have something on your mind right now that's kind of bothering you a little bit? Now, I want you to multiply it times 10. Is that too big for God? Absolutely not. Now, I was reading the other day about an artist in San Diego. She has super vision. I don't know if you knew this, but the average person right here, God has created our eyes so we can see a million colors. Everybody except Warren Jones, who was born blind to colors. He can't see colors. If you like what he wears, you need to see Diane. Say, Diane, you did a great job picking out Warren's color, because he has no idea what color he's wearing, that chartreuse shirt he has on with that pink tie. He just don't know any difference. He's just another old person. That's all he is. We have to get him back. But I want you to know that this girl, listen to this, she can see 99 million more colors than we can. Can you imagine that? She said when she goes into a grocery store, she said it's just a sensory overload. She said if she's out on a gray, cloudy day, those clouds just look like beautiful rainbows. Wouldn't that be amazing to see that many colors? But ladies and gentlemen, we need to have supervision, a spiritual supervision for spotting reasons to be grateful and thankful to God. Now notice this, develop a thankful spirit. All this is just getting you ready now to check those thoughts at the door, whether or not you're going to let them into your heart. You know, bad days just seem like standard equipment in our lives here on this earth. I was reading the other day that this group, you can Google them up on a fitness app, is called Freeletics. They conducted a national survey of 2,000 people, and they found out 2,000 adults, they average having 60 bad days a year. Just think about that. If you got 60 bad days a year, that's about 5 days a month. And then they did some more research with these 2,000 adults and found out that 4 out of 5 days that were bad were directly connected to their workplace. But you know what the number one denominator was there? Common denominator everybody's bad days, they didn't get enough sleep every night. Develop a thankful heart. And then protecting process. Now, here's what I want you to look at. It's verse 8. Things that come in your mind, I want you to give it the reliance test. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Don't let things come into your thought life over and over again that are just not true. Don't absorb that into your heart. Don't dwell on it. Don't be a part of your thought patterns. If it's not true, reject it. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, our society is not the plumb line for truth. The Word of God is where you find truth. Not going to be voted on, not up for re-election, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Will never let you down. So the next thing I want you to have is a reliance test when things come to you. By the way, I wanted to tell you, if you go to dictionary.com, I want you to know that dictionary.com and one of their researchers there, Jane Solomon, picked the word misinformation as the 2018 dictionary word of the year. You think about misinformation. She said, our relationship with truth is something that came up again and again. Cultural confusion pales in comparison with misinformation about eternal truth. The former leads to social chaos, but the later leads to spiritual death. Ladies and gentlemen, don't accept misinformation about Jesus being the only way to heaven. People try to discredit that. That's what cults are all about. That's what false religions are all about. John MacArthur wrote, some say he was only a myth, Jesus, but myths don't set the calendar for history. The next thing is a respect test. Whatever is noble. Now the word honest literally means honorable. They're honorable. Do you let dishonorable things get into your mind? Are there things that are not worthy of your respect? Things that are just not worthy really to occupy your time. Ladies and gentlemen, whatsoever things are honest. Preacher got on a bus one day. He paid his fare. The bus driver gave him change. The man sat down, was riding, and the preacher looked at the palm of his hands, and the bus driver gave him 50 cents too much. So they came to the next stop. The preacher walked up to the bus driver and said, sir, you gave me too much change. The bus driver said, thank you. I was in your church Sunday as a guest and heard you preach on honesty. I just wanted to see if you practice what you preach. I got a resume 3 weeks ago for the student minister position. Legitimate name. But as I went through it, I saw that this guy said from 2007 to 2019, he served in Abilene Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia. Well, undoubtedly, this guy didn't know I was originally from Augusta, Georgia. So I called the retired pastor of 33 years. I had him called, and I did talk to him that day. I called Charles Drummond with the Georgia Baptist Convention. He got in touch with the present pastor of Abilene Baptist Church, a real big church. Now, this guy says he served there from 07 to 2019, and the former pastor and the present pastor never heard of him. What he did was sent me a fraudulent resume to try to become the student minister at this church. Now, what if I hadn't checked? What if I had not been from Augusta and knew that church and known that church for 35 or 40 years and known people in that church to know how to investigate those things which are honest? That's all that you let come in your life, and that's what will come out of it. And then the rightness test. He said, whatever is right as opposed to that which is crooked. And we're looking for things that give you a straight line. There again, you're looking right here in Scripture. Paul says there are certain things that are not to get through the gate. Anything that's unreliable, anything that's disrespectful should not come through the gate, the rightness test. Then he says there's the reverence test. Whatsoever things are pure. That's something in your mind that you would not be ashamed to offer the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You ask this question, should I go to this movie? Should I be involved in this friendship? Lord, could I worship you with those two things, that friend and that movie? You say, well, you're not supposed to worship with everything. Yes, you are. I love going to the mountains in the fall. Is that not beautiful? If you say there is no God, the Bible says you're a fool. It's just amazing. You ever find yourself just actually worshiping through that experience? Nothing wrong with that. Anything that you're doing that cannot pass the reverence test, that you can't offer up to God, any relationship, activity, meal, recreation, business deal, don't let it in your mind. A mother was fixing supper and getting the vegetables together, and her college student daughter was home for a break. She came walking through the kitchen and said, Mom, after supper, I'm going to such and such a movie with my friends, and I know it's got a bad rating, but I'm just going to go anyway. So her mother was about to fix salad. So she put some lettuce in the bowl and some tomatoes and cucumbers and carrots, and she was mixing it up. And then she reached over there in the garbage can and picked up a handful of garbage and put it in the salad. Started mixing up. She said, Mama, what are you doing putting garbage in the salad? She said, well, if you don't mind putting garbage in your mind with that movie, certainly you would be willing to put some garbage in your body as you eat your meal. Looking at those virtues in the Scriptures, like reading the resume of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He's true. He's honest. He's just. He's pure. He's love. And he's of good report. Look at verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. So he's replaced the dirty things with divine things in your mind. And you've got to remove the carnal thinking and reflect the Christ-like thinking. We've got to feed, fill, and flood our thoughts with that which reflects the person of Christ. Look at verse 8. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. And notice, our minds need to be converted, and they need to be consumed with Christ. They need to be controlled with Christ. They need to be captivated by Christ, or I want you to know they're going to be corrupted by Satan. Jeremiah Denton was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam. He was one of the highest ranking officers that was ever captured. He went through some grueling torture. So it was a brutal situation, but he not only survived, but when he came back to the United States, he was elected as a United States Senator from the state of Alabama. In an interview, somebody asked him, how did you survive all that time being physically, mentally, emotionally, almost totally destroyed by your persecutors? And here's what he said. On many occasions, my essential survival kit was quoting passages from the Bible. I internalized Scripture. It became the unseen sword that enabled me to fend off the cruelest weapons of the enemy by inwardly focusing on the power of God to sustain and strengthen me. He said, I was able to rise above my lonely existence and live to tell about it. We've had more people in this church in the last 5 years who suffered with cancer than any of the almost 22 years I've had the privilege to be your pastor. I can't tell you how many times our staff has gone by to see them in their homes or at a hospital bed thinking that we're going to be an encouragement to them. but they wind up expressing their faith and their courage to us. Boy, did they have joy? No, they had chemo this morning. No, did they have joy today? No, they had radiation this morning. Well, did they have a good night's rest and they're all excited? No, they threw up all night. They threw their guts up all night long. Some bleeding and the doctors can't find out where it's coming from. But yet they're like a rock. And their faith is focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some have had to make decisions in recent days, and they knew when they made that choice to no longer do treatments, no longer do blood transfusions, no longer take medications, that I'm going to meet Jesus in just a few days. And you know what one of them did lately? She said, well, I reckon when I go, first person is I'm going to see Jesus. Then I want to see my mama. And then Aunt so-and-so and so-and-so. We had a man who went home to be with the Lord not long ago. And you know what he did? He knew it was happening. He was in his right mind. He said, boy, I can't wait to see Jesus. Can't wait to see mama. Can't wait to see my daughter that preceded me in death in heaven. How in the world do you have that kind of joy when your body's shutting down and you're in nothing but pain that only oxycodone or morphine can kill? Rejoice in the Lord. Always. He'll never let us down. I love Psalm 19:14. I find myself quoting this a lot. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. I think that's a great prayer for all of us. Pray in Scripture. And remember in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. Remember there are security gates there. The Holy Spirit and the Scripture. Need to control what goes in and out of this mind. Because what goes in and out of this mind is going to come out of our heart, out of our mouth, and out of our actions. And our question is, will we be able to worship God with all those things and all those people and all those actions that we allow in our life? We're all gatekeepers, and one of these days we're going to the judgment seat of Christ as believers, eye to eye, face to face, and I don't think we're going to do the talking when our lives are examined. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed?